God Owns It All, a compilation.
The Bible teaches that God, as the creator of all things, owns everything. We read in the Bible that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell therein. Whatever is under the whole heaven is mine, and the silver is mine, and the gold is mine, declares the Lord of hosts. All that we own is actually owned by our Creator, which includes not just our possessions, but ourselves as well. Because God owns them all, the biblical understanding regarding our things is that we are simply stewards or caretakers of what God owns and has put in our charge. While God may own everything, He wants us to be happy and enjoy the things He has given us, as it says in 1 Timothy 6:17, God who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. As custodians of God's resources, specifically the things in our possession, and generally the resources of the earth, we can use them for ourselves and our loved ones to live our lives and to enjoy what He has placed in our care. Stewardship, however, implies being faithful to manage the true owner's resources and to manage them according to the instructions or at least the guiding principles of the owner. The owner sets the parameters, and the manager works within them. Understanding the principles of ownership and stewardship helps us to develop a proper relationship with possessions, money, and wealth. Having the right relationship with these things is vitally important to our relationship with God. Of course, having sufficient means to live, to provide for your family, and to have your legitimate needs adequately met is part of the godly use of what the Lord has entrusted to your care. As stewards of God's funds, we are meant to use them in alignment with His nature and character. Money and material possessions are morally neutral, neither good nor evil in themselves. We need them to live. The problems that arise due to wealth don't come from the wealth itself. Rather, they stem from having a wrong relationship with it. It is when we crave money, when we love it, or when it becomes our main focus, and when we assign it power and importance that should be reserved for God alone, that there are problems. As the Apostle Paul said in his letter to Timothy, "For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evils. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs." It's the love of money or wealth, in other words, a wrong relationship with it, which can damage us spiritually. Jesus pointed out that when one loves mammon, translated in some Bible versions as money and in others as wealth, this negatively affects one's relationship with God. It creates a rivalry with God. Our true treasures are not money and possessions. Our true treasures are the kingdom of God, His love and interaction in our lives, our salvation, God's provision and care for us, and our coming rewards. Understanding this puts our finances and their use in the right perspective. When we understand that our lives, our time, and our possessions all belong to God, we are in a better position to make godly decisions as to how we use what we are stewards over and how to have the proper relationship with them. Peter Amsterdam. The Parable of the Portfolio. Greed is not defined by what something costs. It is measured by what it costs you. If anything costs you your faith or your family, the price is too high. Such is the point Jesus makes in the parable of the portfolio. Seems a fellow made a windfall profit off an investment, the land produced a bumper crop. He found himself with excess cash and an enviable question. What will I do with my earnings? Doesn't take him long to decide. He will save them. He will find a way to store them so he can live the good life. His plan? Accumulate. His aim? Wine, dine, shine, and recline. Move to the Sun Belt. Play golf. Kick back and relax. Suddenly the man dies and another voice is heard, the voice of God. God has nothing kind to say to the man. His initial words are, "Foolish man." On earth the man was respected. He is honored with a nice funeral and a mahogany casket. Gray flannels fill the auditorium with admiration for the canny businessman. But on the front pew is a family already starting to bicker over their dad's estate. "Foolish man," God declares. "So who will get those things you have prepared for yourself?" The man spent his life building a house of cards. He never saw the storm, and now the wind has blown. The storm wasn't the only thing he didn't see. He never saw God. Note his first words after the capital gain. "What will I do?" He went to the wrong place and asked the wrong question. What if he'd gone to God and asked, "What would you have me to do?" The man's sin was not that he planned for the future. His sin was that his plans did not include God. "Those aren't your possessions," God reminds us. "They are mine." The Lord owns the world and everything in it. The heavens, even the highest heavens, are His. God's foremost rule of finance is, we own nothing. We are managers, not owners, stewards, not landlords, maintenance people, not proprietors. Our money is not ours, it is His. This man, however, gave no thought to that. Please note that Jesus didn't criticize this man's affluence. He criticized his arrogance. This rich man was aggressively self-centered. His world was fenced in by himself. He was blind. He didn't see God. He didn't see others. He saw only self. "Foolish man," God told him, "tonight your life will be taken from you." Strange, isn't it, that this man had enough sense to acquire wealth, but not enough to get ready for eternity? I mean, it's not as if God kept the future a secret. One glance at a cemetery should remind us, everyone dies. One visit to a funeral should convince us, we don't take anything with us. Hearses pull no U-Hauls. Max Lucado. Bought with a price. Search and you won't find a single verse of scripture that suggests that God has surrendered his ownership to us. God didn't die and leave the earth or anything in it to me, you, or anyone else. And if we should think, well, at least I own myself, God says you are not your own, you were bought at a price. The believers in Corinth were doing what they pleased, and why not? They thought their lives were their own. But Paul said, no, it's not your life. You own nothing, not even yourself. When you came to Christ, you surrendered the title to your life. You belong to God, not to yourself. He is the only one who has the right to do what he wants with your life, your body, behavior, money, possessions, everything. God doesn't just own the universe. He owns you and me. We are twice His, first by creation, second by redemption. Not only does God own everything, but He determines how much of His wealth He will entrust to us. Remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the ability to produce wealth. The Lord makes poor and makes rich. He brings low and lifts up. Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. Stewardship is living in the light of these overriding truths. It's living with the awareness that we are managers, not owners, that we are caretakers of God's assets, which He has entrusted to us for this brief season here on earth. How we handle money and possessions demonstrates who we really believe is their true owner, God or us. Randy Alcorn.
You've been listening to an audio production by The Family International. Visit us at www.thefamily.org.